Hello and welcome to our latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone, looking ahead to the Olympic final and, of course, looking back at the two semi-finals. Plenty of discussion points, controversy and lots of other stuff to discuss. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend out in the States, JJ Duke. JJ, I know it must have hurt a little bit that the US weren't involved, but I guess it means you can enjoy it a little bit more as a neutral.
Kieran, I've already moved well past it. I'm excited. I still have my champion in the hunt right now. I could win the pool.
Good man.
Yeah.
Giving a little bit away there, but that will all be revealed after the final. And we have a much happier Jasmina Schweimler based out in Germany. Jas, how you doing?
So happy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Germany's first Olympic final. The opportunity to, I guess, complete the list of accolades. They've already got European Championships, they've already got World Cups, now it's a chance to get gold medal. Must be a lot of excitement back in Germany.
Yeah, we're all pretty happy. Big accomplishment and should be a nice goodbye present for Sylvia Knight.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Regardless, she's going to go home with a medal, we just don't know if it's gold or silver yet. So, we're going to talk about Germany-Canada first. Obviously, that was the second semi-final, but I think it would be worth talking about that one first because there was clearly more talking points, in my opinion, in the Brazil-Sweden game. Linda Eriksson couldn't join us on the call, so I spoke to her a little bit earlier today to get her views on Sweden. But let's, after this break, we'll kick off with Germany-Sweden, Germany-Canada, and we'll have a little bit of a chat about that one.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSO Zone.
So, welcome back. Germany-Canada, repeat of the group stage game that took place a couple of weeks ago. It was Germany that were unfortunate in that match, 1-0 up, lost 2-1. Melissa Tancredi certainly showed up on that day. JJ, I'll go to you first. They turned it around, didn't they? And they put in a pretty accomplished performance.
We could say now, after what, 5 matches in this tournament, that's probably the most German performance that we've seen thus far in this tournament. They look confident, they're much bolder in their attacking, and I think really most importantly, their defense was pretty stout. They didn't let a whole lot of opportunities going forward. Obviously, as we know, Janine Becky has been very good in this tournament. Tancredi, as we've already said, has come on strong late. But I didn't remember too many dangerous moments throughout that match. And as I kind of hinted to in our last show, the Canadian back line had to be pretty disciplined in that match. They were not, and they got paid for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jasmina, I'll come over to you. I'm not necessarily looking for you to talk about tactics or anything like that, but when you look back at the game, how pleasing was it that Germany put in their best performance when it really mattered?
Yeah, I was hoping that they would improve, and they certainly did. They attacked better, the defense was pretty solid, but I also think that Canada didn't play their best game, and it kind of backfired, so I'm glad we took the chance, and now we're in the final.
Yeah, absolutely, you're in the final, and JJ, like you say, that defence, for probably the first time in the tournament, really did kind of come together, didn't they? We've seen some gaping holes throughout the competition. They conceded against Zimbabwe, they conceded against Canada, they conceded 2 against Australia, and it could well have been more. But it's one of those things where the sign of a true champion is when you get the results when it matters and you put the performances in when it matters. And I'm looking at parallels to the US in the World Cup last year. Started off slowly in the group, but got better and better and better as the games went on.
Oh, you're right on the head with that. I mean, that's why they call this part of the tournament the business end, because if you don't win, then you go home. You have to find a way to get the job done. And I think really, you know, we're going to hit on this, obviously, in the second of the two semifinals with Sweden's performance. But I think, you know, Germany, they had some issues to figure out. Obviously, losing Laudere in the midfield, as it has been well documented throughout this tournament, that was a big miss. She's the glue of that team and that midfield, but I think there were key players in that side that really stepped up. They took the game, they took it to Canada, as opposed to kind of knocking around the midfield, looking good doing it, but not necessarily looking at goal for any dangerous chances until later on the matches, as we've saw throughout the group stage. But again, better performance, and I think right now, if you are Sweden, this is not a Germany team that you want to face now. You'd have probably wanted to face the Germany team that was playing two matches ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jasmina, we'll talk about the final in a bit more detail shortly, but how pleasing is it that Germany are coming up against a fellow European nation like Sweden as opposed to a US or a Brazil?
Well, it's the first European final, isn't it, at the Olympics? So that's pretty good. And we never lost a final to Sweden, against Sweden, so I'm pretty confident that we can break the game plan.
I mean, JJ and I have spoken about the team kind of getting better throughout the competition. Is that being kind of reflected in the mood of German supporters? Are you starting to believe that the gold medal is a real possibility now?
Yeah, definitely. I was pretty disappointed with the performances, but what I've seen against Canada, I'm confident that we can do it now. We are definitely very motivated and ready to take that gold medal.
And what's the media kind of reaction at the moment? Is it starting, the team starting to get a bit more notice? Are they starting to get a bit more attention?
I mean, the German women's national team always gets a lot of attention, so, but it has definitely increased now that we're in the final. Yeah, definitely.
And how much will this team want to do well for Sylvia Knight? You mentioned earlier that it would be a nice present for her to go away with. How big a deal is it for those players to try and win it for her?
Very, very important. I mean, it's her last game. She was our coach for such a long, long time. So, yeah, that would definitely be a nice goodbye present. And I think she totally deserves it. She has done so much for the women's national team and for the German football in general.
Yeah, and I can't agree more with that. She's been coach in the German team since 2005. To be head coach for your national team for 11 years is a hell of an achievement. And JJ, I guess from a US perspective, where you've seen a few coaches in that period of time, it's a testament to how well she's done to keep that job for so long.
Well, it's a twofold, really. Success and building the next generation. And clearly, Sylvia Knight has done exactly that. You know, always in the U.S. broadcasts, whenever they talk about the German team, there's never a weak German team. It's always the reloading of a new era. And really, I think, you know, we're kind of seeing this full front now, that 2012 under-20 World Cup team. Now those are the key players that are in this national team now. Gone are some of the elder statesmen, and give it maybe 5-6 years now, or from now, you see the players that were in the 2014 and coming up later this year, this 2016 U20 team. Those are going to be the players that are going to carry on the reign. And I think a main reason of that is because Sylvia Knight not only believes in her youth, but has the primary focus to develop those players, get them comfortable within the system, play them in the big matches, and also, by the way, they win a lot of those big matches.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess we can't talk about the semi-final without giving a mention to Canada. I think exceeded everyone's expectations. They will, of course, go into the bronze medal match against Brazil. We've spoken about John Herdman being able to blend those experienced players like your Christine Sinclairs and your Sophie Schmitz with your Ashley Lawrences and your Janine Beckys. And I think Janine Becky is probably, in my opinion, narrowly going to miss out on player of the competition to probably Melanie Behringer, especially if Germany win the gold medal. But they've got a lot to look forward to, haven't they? And they certainly leave this competition with their heads held high.
They do, but I think, honestly, at the same time, Karen, it's almost, you can't say it's a disappointment because, again, as you're right, they've exceeded a lot of our expectations. I think they haven't exceeded their own expectations. This is a team that, you know, they'll say that they, you know, podium, top three, winning a medal is a priority. I really feel that they felt they could have won this tournament. Had it been a different day, a different opponent, I think they probably come out more, you know, with a better result of that in playing in the gold medal match. Because let's face it, through the first four matches, I think they're the best team in the tournament. It just happened to be that they came to an opponent that's starting to peak at the right time, which we have seen throughout a whole lot of other major international tournaments, that teams, they start slow, and yes, you could say that the United States is one of those teams. They start out of the gate very slow, maybe even stumble once or twice. But as to kind of take the old horse racing terms, down the final home stretch they come, they power home. And there's not a whole lot of teams that can do that, that can match that. But right now, that was a team in Germany that's powering through. And Canada, they didn't play their best. They weren't terrible, but they weren't good enough on the day. And now they have a very interesting task at hand where they have to play the hosts, who, oh, by the way, will probably be backed by a good support system despite not going without a goal for over 300 minutes.
Yeah, and certainly a team that is going to be expansive and looking to exploit a team that will not sit back like we've seen Sweden do in the last two games. Jasmina, you don't mess with Alex Popp, do you? She gave a very kind of interesting gesture towards John Herdman during the game, didn't she? What did she say in response to that?
Oh, she said that he made some comments towards her and she just doesn't take it. But that's what she's known for. She doesn't take anyone's... I don't want to say the bad word.
Say it. It's fine. You're going to say it doesn't take anyone's crap, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And she certainly showed that with the hand gesture that she gave during the game. I thought she had one of her better games of the tournament, and obviously she wanted to let him know exactly what she thought of him. But I thought it was quite amusing. We've seen some funny moments during this tournament. We've seen some bad moments during this tournament as well. But a nice sort of light-hearted way to end the review of this semi-final. As we said, Germany progressed through to the final. We'll talk about that in a minute. And of course, Canada will go into the bronze medal match. And when we come back, we will have a chat about the second semi-final, which took place between Brazil and Sweden.
Women's Soccer Zone would like to thank our partners, She Kicks Magazine. Subscribe at shekicks.net for even more women's football.
So, welcome back. We move on to the host, Brazil, against Sweden. Now, JJ, Sweden are turning into, or have almost been branded, the pantomime villain of this competition. We saw them against the United States put up a very solid and disciplined rear guard against the United States to go for on penalties. They went with the view in the semi-final of if it ain't broke, why fix it? Because they played exactly the same way against Brazil, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, we talked about in the last, the last show of this is, we're not offended as a show of teams playing defensive football in order to win matches at the international level in a major competition. I'm still with them. I am perfectly fine if Sweden wants to go out and execute a game plan. They do it, and they did. Now, you know, we look at it in another way. Say if the United States or say if Brazil came out the winners, then, you know, there'd be a lot of different takes from it. They were cautious. They were conservative. They wanted to try to play for the one goal. But guess what? They won. And as to kind of take the words from Pia, they're going to Rio. They're going to the final. Everybody else is going home. And guess what? They did exactly that. I've got no issues with it.
Jasmine, I know you didn't get to see a lot of the game, but obviously it's Germany that will come up against them. Have you been surprised you will see more of Sweden on a month-by-month basis than maybe JJ will, being based in Europe? They haven't come into this competition in great form, in the sense that they had a poor World Cup last year. They did very well in the qualifying tournament in March in the Netherlands, but when I spoke to Nili Fischer, she admitted that they didn't go into that competition or that qualifying with much confidence. Are we surprised that they've managed to get this far and will be competing for the gold medal?
I'm not surprised. Like I said in the first preview show, we should never underestimate any teams. And, you know, that's exactly what happened. They have such great key players. They have shown such great character, and they are in the final. So everything worked out just fine for them, and they are very confident now. And what I also wanted to say is, I don't really understand why the defensive football is such a big deal to people, because actually I'm pretty used to it in the Frauen Bundesliga. Bayern Munich play exactly the same, and it works out for them. They get the job done, and that's what matters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more with that, and I know JJ shares the same view. You play to your strengths, and we saw Sweden get absolutely annihilated in the group stage against the very same opposition, 5-1. Now, if they go out and play expansive football, which we know they can do because they've got the players to do it, when you've got the likes of Lotta Schelin and Kosovari Aslani and Stina Blackstenius, you have got attacking ability. And they were able to bring, I think, Sofia Jakobsen came off of the bench as well. They have players who like to attack. Now, I've written a piece for Equaliser Soccer that will either be out by the time this show comes out, or certainly will be out at some point. And I've said in that piece, do you think Lotta Schelin wanted to be back defending corners? Do you think Kosovari Aslani wanted to be back helping her fullback? Of course they didn't. These are attacking forward players, but they are doing a job to help their team win the match. And that's the most important thing. You play to your strengths and you play as a team. And essentially that is what's got them to the final, isn't it, JJ? They have been able to come together as a side, learn from the mistakes that they made in the group stages, and they get to the final and compete for the gold medal.
No, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't look back at something that happened in the second group stage match of a tournament. You remember those goal line clearances. You remember those top shelf saves. You remember the penalty kicks. I mean, let's face it, this is a team that, again, you know, and I think Linda in the last show, or either the last show and the show prior, you know, she mentioned that this is kind of an elder statesman team right now. Now, again, they do have a fair few young players coming in, but they had the advantage of, you know, between the third match of the group stage and the quarterfinals, they didn't have to travel. Saves a little bit of the legs. They didn't have to travel now between the semifinals and the finals because they're already playing in Rio. That's a little bit of an advantage. So we'll be curious to see how that goes about.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Well, while you were finishing there, JJ, good timing, because in true Australian fashion, she's a little bit late to the party, but it's important that she's here. Anne O'Dong joins us. Anne, how you doing?
Thanks very much, Kieran. Just saying goodbye to a couple of the Australian Olympians as they depart for their various clubs around the world.
Good stuff, good stuff. Well, I've got Jasmina and I've got JJ on the line with us. We've already spoken about Germany and Canada. We're currently speaking about Brazil and Sweden. We've spoken about how actually we all admire the way that Sweden have played in terms of learning from the mistakes of the group stages and setting up in a way that allows them to get to where they are now, which is competing for the gold medal.
Yeah, and I'm 100% in agreement. I guess for me it's also, I've been hyper impressed with the way they've been able to keep their concentration and organisation for 240 minutes. And I wrote an article about it in defence of Sweden, and just saying that, you know, it's an actually really brave way that they're playing, and also that it's not up to them to make it easy for other teams to be able to get through them and score. It's up to other teams to be able to break them down, and so far, United States and Brazil were unable to do so.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, JJ, I mean, what now for Brazil? You know, we had huge expectations. It was possibly the last opportunity. Well, certainly, I would say the last opportunity for someone like Formiga. We don't know what the likes of Christiane and Marta will do for the next Olympics in 2020. But in front of the home crowd, with the ability and the talent that they've got in that squad, it may well be that we struggle to see Brazil winning a gold medal anytime soon. Or am I being a little bit too harsh?
You know, that's one of those things that you never know, because, again, on their day, Brazil are world-class. I mean, they already are world-class, it is, but, you know, on their day, they can turn it to a next level. I think the best case of that was their match against Sweden in the group stage. They absolutely flattened them. I mean, they were playing with some of the football, I said, that were almost synonymous with 2007 World Cup and 2008 Olympics, free-flowing. Joy, attacking from all angles. The one thing, though, Kieran, that I did saw mostly in this match against Sweden, not so much in the match against Australia, was a bit more frustration within the team. And I noted this before the tournament started, that similar to that match last year in the Women's World Cup, and I know Anne can chip in on this, on her views, but we saw Brazil kind of getting into it with each other a little bit, just because of the frustration. They couldn't put the ball in the back of the net, plain and simple. It's been a few matches since they have scored, and you know, yeah, sure, creating chances is great and all, but finishing is another thing. And you started to see a little frustration come about in the last, I don't know, 15 minutes of normal time and throughout the extra time period. And I said, when one domino falls, they all start falling. And I'm not surprised that this result came out to be as it is. Granted, again, it's tough to win two straight penalty kick shootouts in a row, but here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And how much we talk about players like Schelin and Fischer and Seger, who are the spine of that team, Hedvig Lindahl as well. Lisa Dahlqvist has got to have nerves of steel. To score a winning penalty in one match is one thing, but to do it two games running, that is guts personified, isn't it?
Oh, Nordic ice. And she did it with such calmness. I mean, in the first one, we saw the antics that happened with Hope Solo just before the penalty was to be taken. But with the second one, she just placed the ball and just iced it. And it's that kind of leadership that Sweden have through the spine of their team. And you have a look at it with Hedvig Lindahl in goals, and you've got Sembrant, and then you've got Seger in the midfield with Dahlqvist, and then up the top you've got Schelin and Seger. These are experienced campaigners, and these are people who, you know, to talk about their style of play, but for the likes of Schelin and the likes of Dahlqvist, it's about, you know, probably their last Olympics as well, and they wanted to go home with a medal. They wanted to go home with something to show for the Olympics. And I feel like, you know what, the reason why Sweden's been able to have buy-in from this team is because for a lot of these guys, they've not had great last couple of campaigns, and in particular the last World Cup, there's a lot of criticism that went Sweden's way. And then suddenly you say, look, I've got a game plan. This game plan can work, but it needs a collective effort, and it needs you, Lotta, you know, Champions League top goal scorer, many times got top goal scorer in the French League, but it needs you to play a different role. And that's what you've seen. You've seen a lot of buy-in. And I agree with JJ in relation to Brazil. You know, I love Brazil to pieces. I think they play some of the most inventive, creative all around. And I was actually really quite surprised to see how disciplined they were against Australia. The way they kept their shape, the way they kept attacking, and they kept attacking in an organised manner, and the way they kept their heads against Australia. And that's always been one of the criticisms about Brazil in the past, is do they have the maturity and the mentality to keep going when things start to fall apart? And in the Sweden game, we saw that tested once again in front of a big crowd. And I think on that occasion they didn't. They got frustrated and started to play right into Sweden's hand. And also, like the US did in the quarterfinal, once that started to happen, Sweden started to have space and the ability then to counterattack really, really effectively. And they could have had one or two goals in that game as well. It's really, really unfortunate for Brazil, and I think it probably will be the end of an era for a couple of those players towards the latter part of their careers. And now it becomes a question of, do the CBF put in enough money to allow this team to properly regenerate? Because there are some really good young players coming through. We saw Beatrice, who became somewhat of a star in this tournament, Andressina, Andressa Alves, you know, even the likes of Monica and Rafaela, who played quite well in defence. They could have some good young players come around them if the CBF are prepared to invest in the Brazilian future.
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? And you mentioned Andressina there, gutting that she was the player that would have to miss the decisive penalty. Big hopes on her shoulders moving forward, being touted as a new martyr. I think that's a little bit unfair. Let's give her an opportunity to develop without the pressures of being compared to superstars. And as we saw with the Guardian piece recently, considered to be the best player ever to take to the field in the women's game. I mean, I'd like to wrap this one up, guys, because obviously I want to have a look to the final. But before I do, Linda Eriksson was unable to join us for the call, but I did manage to have a chat with her a little bit earlier to get her views. Of course, being Swedish, it wouldn't be right if we didn't have her on to give her views ahead of the final. So here she is giving me a little bit of her view and a little bit of insight into what she makes of the Swedish team up to now. So I'm joined by Linda Eriksson. Linda, we are speaking the day before the gold medal match between Sweden and Germany, and I think even the most optimistic of Sweden fans couldn't have expected your team to be competing in Rio in the final gold medal match, could they?
No, we could not. It is a huge surprise, a pleasant surprise.
What's been, do you think, in your mind, the key thing to this Swedish team getting to the final? They've faced some quite heavy criticism in some quarters, but then there have also been a fair amount of people, who I would include myself in that, who've been quite defensive of Sweden for the tactics that they've employed in this competition. But what do you think's been the key thing in helping them to get to this final?
I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's the defense. As we all saw, they didn't play well at the group stage, and they did a good job analyzing what they needed to do to win games. And it's Sweden's defense who is the strongest right now. We have a great goalkeeper, a good two central defenders, and they put their focus on that, and it paid off.
What's been the kind of reaction to people in Sweden to some of the criticism that they've faced?
I mean, I suppose it's been covered to some extent. After they won the game against Brazil, there was an article about just Twitter reactions from mainly Americans about how boring Sweden was playing and that kind of thing. But they were also raising the point that some others were making that Sweden were playing well. I mean, you have to say they were winning. They were doing what needed to be done to win. It's kind of, yeah, you can say it's boring if you want, but how can you criticize tactics that lead to winning?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's certainly something that I think those with a slightly more open mind are willing to kind of accept. And it's not pretty. But, and I don't like talking about men's football on this show, but we saw Portugal do exactly the same thing in the Euros over the summer. They didn't particularly play well, but they were well organised, they were well disciplined, and they ended up winning the final against all the odds. And Sweden have done that, but I think it's unfair to say that Sweden have only defended. They do have players in there who have the ability to change a game. We've seen Lotta Schelin lead the line very well. We've seen Stina Blackstenius come in with the injury to Fridolin Arolfo. That team has come together, hasn't it? They are working well together. They are, I guess they're putting peers' tactics into practice, aren't they? They are finding a way to win these big matches.
Yeah, I mean, as a forward, it has to be really tough to go into a game with this mentality that we're going to be playing defense and you can only attack on a counter or whatever. It takes a lot of work for these more attacking-minded players to reset their minds to play a different game, if you will. And they've been doing it really well. And if they hadn't done that, then Sweden would have lost.
Tell me what your nerves were like when the game went to extra time and then penalties.
Extra time was rough. That was really hard to watch. But when it went to penalties, I felt pretty confident. It was a repeat of the USA game where Sweden were going into it with everything to win and Brazil were going into it with everything to lose.
And is Lisa Dahlqvist now being lined up as the next president or the next queen of Sweden?
Yeah, why not?
Well, she showed some nerves, didn't she? To score the winning penalty in one game is one thing, but to do it in the very next game, just a few days later, that takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? And actually goes against what some of the things that Sweden have been labelled as.
Yeah, I mean, 10 games, 100 games, she would do the exact same thing in every game. She has nerves of steel. There is no one who wants to win more than Lisa Dahlqvist. She is just ruthless. There are hilarious stories about how angry she gets when she loses at the tiniest thing.
Do you have any examples?
Just anything. She is so competitive, she gets super mad if she loses.
Do you have any examples of some of those stories? We'd love to hear one if you've got one.
Oh, I can't remember. There are so many of them.
Okay, well, I need to get her on the show then. That is something I will definitely do in the future. We'll get Lisa Dahlqvist on the show and we can hear about some of her red rage stories. I mean, I guess you know, we look ahead to the final. You've almost become the pantomime villains of this competition, haven't you? You've knocked out the gold medalists from 2012. You've knocked out the hosts. And now you face Germany, who themselves haven't been convincing early on in the tournament, but they've got better throughout the competition. How confident are Sweden, based on the perception of the media and the public back there, how confident are they that you can come out of this game and make it a clean sweep with a gold medal?
Really hard to say. I don't think the Swedish people are overly confident. I honestly don't know if this is true, but I heard someone random on the street talking about the game today and saying Sweden have never beat Germany. I think we must have at some point, but it was probably a long time ago. We just don't win against Germany. It doesn't matter if we're somehow playing better. Germany always win in the end. So that's kind of what people are thinking. But I mean, I don't think it's impossible. This team seems to be able to do everything now. So maybe they will beat Germany this time.
What's going to be the key in your mind? What does Sweden have to do to try and win this game?
I just think they're going to have to keep up what they've been doing, and they're going to have to attack a little bit more to get a goal. It's probably not feasible that Sweden can take this to another extra time, because they have already played two extra times where Germany have not. They have so many more minutes in their legs that they probably would not win another extra time. So they're going to have to attack a little bit more, but stay strong defensively, and they might win.
So stick your neck out. Who's going to win? Is it going to be Sweden with a gold medal around their neck or a silver medal around their neck?
I'm going to have to say Sweden this time.
Of course, I would have been disappointed if you hadn't. Well, enjoy the game. I know that we have Jasmina on the show as well, and I'm pretty certain that she will be as confident as you are when we speak to her a little bit later. People will have already heard her speaking on the show before we got you on. But enjoy it. It's not very often that your team gets to the a major final. We only ever have three for us in Europe, three big competitions to look forward to. It's almost always difficult to get to that showpiece final. So enjoy it, and we'll speak to you after the final, Linda.
Absolutely. Speak to you later.
Women's Soccer Zone. It's all about the players.
Okay, so that was Linda. Thanks very much to her for her insight. Guys, we move on to the final. I guess we have to talk about the bronze medal match very briefly as well. I mean, it's kind of difficult, the bronze medal match, because you don't really know what to... There's a prize at the end of it, but it's almost like a consolation prize, isn't it, the bronze medal? It's still very important, and both teams will want to win. You know, where do we think the game is going to be won, and who do we think is going to win? Jasmina, I'll start with you.
Going to be a tough game, but I'm going with Canada. They are confident and they can do it.
And why do you think they? What will give them that impetus? What will be the key thing for them to win, as well as confidence?
Well, they played such a great tournament, so they have a lot of positives to take into the game. And yeah.
Okay, no problem. And Brazil, Canada. Where are we thinking this one's going, and what's going to be the key area for the winner?
Yeah, I'm with Jasmina. I'm with Canada on this one. I just feel like, and John Herdman said in the press match conference, he has to turn around and pick up his team again. And Canada have done that. They've done that in London 2012 and in even much, much tougher circumstances after the loss to the United States. So I feel like Herdman, you know, he knows where this team's at. He knows this team really, really well. And Jesse Fleming, after the post-match, was really, really determined to turn around and win another medal for Canada. And I don't think that's a situation that Brazil's been in how to turn around after such a really mentally challenging loss to then bring themselves up again for a bronze medal match. And I feel like Canada will be ready.
Yeah, JJ, you know, Canada, we expect big things based on the performances they've put in the tournament. Anne and Jasmina have already mentioned that. Is it a clean sweep? Are you going with Canada as well?
Karen, my heart and my soccer brain says Canada. My gut which I always go to, says Brazil. It doesn't matter if they've played two matches that gone into extra time and penalty kicks. They want to leave this tournament with something, and they want to do it with their supporters behind them. I expect it's not going to be as big of a crowd in the semifinal at the Corinthians Arena, but I still think it will be a good support. I think that Marta is going to once again, despite continually hauling up and down the right flank, left flank, center, wherever, I think she's going to give one more great performance. And despite, again, the two prior parts of my body going with the Canadians, it's going to be Brazil in regular time.
Okay, well, I'm with you. I think if Brazil can do it in 90 minutes, then I think that will be important for them. If the game goes to extra time, I'm going Canada, because I just do not think that that Brazil side, and I think it'll be the same for Sweden against Germany, which we're going to come to in a minute, I think it's very, very difficult to play 120 minutes, three games running in the space of a week. I think that's a big ask for any team, and I think that will be a massive struggle for Brazil if it goes to extra time. So I'm going Brazil in normal time, but if it does go to extra time, I just think Canada might have the legs, and I think it will be emotionally draining for Brazil to have to go through all of that again. So I'm going to go Brazil with you. So we're split on this one. We've got 2-2. We'll move on to the final. JJ, I know that you're pushed for time and you might have to dash off, so I'll start with you, mate. Germany against Sweden, all European final. I think if you'd asked anyone before the competition started, no one would have had this as the lineup for the gold medal match. So what's your thinking? Who's going to be the team that comes out on top and why?
I said it earlier in this show that no one wants to face Germany right now the way that they're playing. They would have wanted to face Germany the way that they're playing last week. The reason why, they've grown. They figured out now how to plug that hole because of the loss of Simone Lauder. They're playing better. Behringer is on fire. And I stay with the pick that I made when you asked me a month ago not to reveal. So here's not me not revealing that I choose Germany in the final.
Destroying the suspense for the next show, mate. When we reveal all our picks. Nice one. Thank you very much for that. Jasmina, I mean, obviously this one will mean more to you than the rest of us. Obviously the three of us will absolutely be tuning in and absolutely enjoying it, I'm sure. But for you, there is the emotional side as well. I guess for you, where do you think this one's going, dare I ask? And if you're going for Germany, where's the key going to be?
I expect Sweden to stick with a game plan. So it's going to be defensive football versus offensive football. But we definitely have the players to overcome and break through the defense with Debrecz, Leupolz, possibly Kaschowski, Behringer, Pop. Pop is always a big-time player, so she will definitely show up when needed. And I'm even going as far and say that we will beat them in regular time because, like I said already, we never lost the final against Sweden.
JJ, Anne and I discussed in the last show about Jennifer Marijan and how we're waiting for her to really kind of light up a tournament. She has a huge reputation. She is considered to be one of the best players in the world. She's shortlisted for the UEFA Best Player in Europe alongside Ada Hegerberg and Amandine Henry. What's the German perspective and German perception of Marijan? Because we know that she's got it in her locker, but for us, maybe from outsiders looking in, we're still waiting to see it consistently and at the highest level.
Yeah, the German people feel the same. It's like whenever we play a big tournament and she's there, she just doesn't seem to show up, but she has the qualities to perform and she's one of the best players in the world, but she just doesn't unleash that potential when she's competing at the big stage. And I'm not even sure if she's gonna compete at the final because she's injured, so...
Oh, right. Okay.
We might see her in the final.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that. I haven't seen any team news. That would be massively disappointing. As I say, you know, despite waiting for her to kind of light this tournament up, it would be a huge, huge loss for the Germans because I've actually written in a preview that I think she is possibly the key of being that player that can play between the two lines of the Swedes. We've seen Sweden we've seen Sweden kind of line up with two banks of four, and sometimes when the opposition have got the ball, it's a bank of four and a bank of five, and that's why teams have found it very difficult to break them down. So if Marijan's not playing, that's going to be potentially a huge loss. I mean, Anne, I'll come over to you. You're out in Brazil. What's the kind of build-up been like over there? And despite the fact that Brazil aren't in the final, is there kind of an atmosphere building? Is there excitement ahead of the game tomorrow?
Yeah, unfortunately, one of the bad things to happen for the women's football tournament was Brazil to make it through to the men's final. And that's just sort of meant it sucked out a little bit of the energy out of the women's final, particularly as Brazil are no longer a part of it. But I think in terms of the final itself, Marijan is going to be assessed by the medical staff, Sylvia Nide said. That's why she was taken off at halftime in the game against Canada. Whether she plays or not is going to be curious, but even if she doesn't play, there is a really made replacement in Lena Gosling to jump into that position. I think the key for Germany is going to be how quick they move the ball. Against Canada in the second game, they moved it a lot quicker and with a lot more purpose than they did in the first game, and that allowed them to get in and around a Canadian defence that had only conceded one goal up to that stage. If they can do that and play between the lines of Sweden, I think they've got a very, very good chance, but they don't have the foot speed to be able to get in behind Sweden. That was one of the problems for them against Australia, where Australia blitzed them in terms of the foot speed. So they're going to have to move the ball really, really quickly. Otherwise, Sweden are just going to get the opportunity to get set, and then from there on, it's going to be really difficult for them to be able to break down. Sweden, on the other hand, they're going to really enjoy this matchup, I think. I think they might open up just a little bit more. Both the USA and Brazil had a lot of pace, and I think that's part of the reason why they sat so deep to try and negate that space in behind and really protect Lindahl in that match. Germany don't quite have that full speed, and I feel like they might open up a little bit, because that will give a Schlage and possibly even Jakobsen, but definitely Schallen, the opportunity to run at the German defence, who aren't the quickest. I thought Kran was really good in that game against Canada, and Bartusiak's been playing really well, but they can be got at, and I think they really will want to test Schultz time and time again. And I think expect to see Sweden attack a little bit more than they have in the other knockout phases. But in saying that, I'm going with Germany on this one. I just think they've got enough weapons, and again, if they can move the ball quickly, they've got enough to be able to win it in regular time.
Yeah, I think I've got to go with you guys. I think it might be a game too much for Sweden, as I said in the last game for the bronze medal match. I think this has got to be won in 90 minutes if Sweden are going to win it. I think it's going to be a massive ask once again to ask a team to go through 120 minutes for a third game in a week, and to go through penalties again. And Germany haven't had that. Germany haven't had to have extra time. They haven't had to have that emotion that comes with a penalty shootout. And I think it's a big ask to have Sweden go for all of that again. So I think if they're going to win it, they have to win it in 90 minutes. But I do think it will be Germany. I think we've already mentioned the impact of Melanie Behringer, and it's almost guaranteed that she's going to be the top scorer in the tournament unless someone has a worldie in the bronze medal match or the final. She's been impressive. I thought Sara Dabritz in the semi-final was excellent. And you've always got threats with the likes of Alex Popp and as Jasmina said, Isabel Kaszowski, if she gets any time on the pitch, because she's lightning and could really be the player that gets in behind that Swedish backline. But it's going to be a fascinating final. I know it's not the final that quite a lot of people will have wanted, but from my perspective, one that I am intrigued by, one I'm really looking forward to, and being based in Europe, to have two European sides is certainly no bad thing. But we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. But thanks, guys. I really appreciate you joining me. JJ unfortunately had to leave the call through the middle of that, so he is doing his own thing, so I'll say thank you to him another time. And of course, thanks very much to Linda for joining us to give her insight. Of course, if listeners, thank you very much to you for tuning in once again. These shows have been coming thick and fast over the course of the Olympics. We will of course have the guys back after the final to get their views and to reveal their picks as to who they had winning the tournament, and of course top goal scorer, and a few other things as well. If you'd like to follow the show on Twitter, you can do. We're on at WosoZone. To listen to the show, you can listen on iTunes or on audioboom.com/channel/WosoZone. And of course, if you want to email us, you can do on WosoZone@gmail.com. Enjoy the final. Enjoy the bronze medal match. We will speak to you after they are done. So take care and bye-bye.